It's time for overtime.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
In the world of sports, it's all about the playmakers in today's headlines, from locals to the pros, with interviews from local standouts and sports all-stars across the country that will have you talking. From coaches to players, sports analysts, and broadcasters who are a part of the action every day. Overtime, now with Burt Ramin on ESPN 102.3 AM 1000 KSOO, Sioux Falls sports leader.
It is an early start to hour number two on a Friday. Very rare we get off to an early start. Still so much to come on the show, but right in front of us, let's get ready to rumble. It's time for the High Noon Showdown. Headlines of the day to follow. Friday parlay after that. Big opportunity to win big. Caller one, caller two on the line. We got Gene, we got Matt, and we can't wait to see this battle today. Gino, my friend, you're always quick on the trigger. We called for caller number one, and you delivered. How the heck are you today?
I'm doing pretty well, but, you know, the bottom line is when you're old, crotchety, and retired like me, you got time to listen to your best buddy, Bert.
Hey, man.
Pilot.
I appreciate that, and I know you're also calling in to get your hands on a huge prize pack. I'm going to try to stuff this into one envelope. It might end up being two, though, for you, buddy, if you can hang on to the win. List A or list B today against your pal Matt on the other line?
I think I'm going A today.
A today for Gino. Matt is on list B. We're ready to rumble. Gene signs up to go first here as well. We got jersey numbers, college questions, basketball questions, and so much more. It's time for this week's edition of the High Noon Showdown.
That's two, that's far, shooter.
Oh, you can count. Good for you.
And you can count on me waiting for you in the parking lot.
Doesn't have to be a fight in the parking lot. Although we'd love to see that, actually. It's time to duke it out in this week's edition of the High Noon Showdown.
If it's your first time listening, the High Noon Showdown, always brought to you by the all-new Uncle Ed's Specialty Meats. Elevate your grill game at Uncle Ed's on the east side of Sioux Falls. Gene, Matt, I'm feeling generous. Both of you guys, win or loss, we never have ties on the show. Win or loss, I'm hooking you up with a Pyro Buck certificate, $40 to Pyro City, I-29T Fireworks Exit, win or loss. So I got your info. We're ready to rumble. Gene, your first question of the day, jersey number, new team for this individual, but the jersey number has not changed. What jersey number does former Titan and current Raven running back Derrick Henry wear?
Ooh, I should know this. I lived down there once. 22.
That is correct. Gino's off to a good start. We're going to go to line number two and say hello to our friend Matt. Matt, what jersey number does Browns running back Nick Chubb wear? Might be a tough one here. This has not changed in his career. One team. What number does Nick Chubb wear?
Let's say 26.
26. That is awfully close. Split the difference between he and Henry. He wears number 24. But Matt, hang on hold. Hang on with us here. The Minnesota Timberwolves landed two first-round guys. The first one was Rob Dillingham, but the second one was Terrence Shannon Jr. Where did Terrence Shannon Jr. most recently play his college basketball?
Virginia?
That is not correct. He played at Illinois. Over to Gino. And Gene, you got an early opportunity to slam the door and win this one outright. What college did the other player the Timberwolves ended up getting out of the first round, Rob Dillingham? Where did he play college basketball?
I know it wasn't Marquette.
It's not Marquette. You know that much. I know you're a wise guy.
I'm always waiting for a Marquette question, but the answer is the Kentucky Wildcats.
The Kentucky Wildcats. Gino, you never cease to amaze me, my friend. You get the big prize pack. Matt, I got your info. You get the Pyro Bucks as well. Gino, I got this heavy envelope waiting here for you. Have a great weekend. Have a happy 4th. We'll do it again soon, my friend.
Thanks, my friend. Keep up the great work.
All right. Great stuff as always. Gene, that losing streak is so far behind him. He was on a losing streak for, I don't know, 6-8 weeks on the show. Every time he called in, he was oh so close. Couldn't get it done. But he wins today's edition of the High Noon Showdown, shutout style, 2-0. Other questions, by the way. fun ones, NBA draft-centered questions for Gino. Pretty easy ones, I think. In the 2010 NBA draft, the Washington Wizards took this point guard from Kentucky at number one overall. That, of course, is John Wall. And the other question that would have been for Matt, in the 2018 NBA draft, the Phoenix Suns took this center from the University of Arizona, number one overall, no longer a member of the team, DeAndre Ayton. And your tiebreaker, it's just about Wimbledon season, people. Wimbledon tournament approaching. When was the first tournament held there at that site? You got to go all the way back. This is, again, a tiebreaker, so I'd have two random guesses, probably a lot of math involved. 1877, and we got some Wimbledon news to share later on in the program. Congratulations to our friend Gene and Matt for playing today in the High Noon Showdown. Headlines of the day now. Let's dive in to your scorecard. First things first, still to come, Friday Parlay. Lulu Moreno, a forward with the Sioux Falls City Football Club, will join us talking about the big game tonight and the remainder of the season for Sioux Falls CFC. Also, the good, the bad, the ugly on tap. NBA news from yesterday, the draft has come and gone in the blink of an eye. Bronny James was indeed drafted by his dad's team, the LA Lakers. And according to Rob Pelinka, the new head coach and the team already working on plans for the new young star.
It's an honor for us to add him to our program. Coach Redick is already excited about putting a development plan around him to increase his basketball skills and turn him into the player that we think can impact and help this franchise.
Certainly hope so. With the number 55 overall pick, Bronny James, a member of the LA Lakers. What's next for LeBron? Jay Williams had this to say about a potential exit or a potential staying put for LeBron James.
A lot of this league is about fit, and a lot of this is also around the opportunity around Bronny for what it does to LeBron. Yep. Now that we drafted your son, LeBron, where are you going? Are you going to give us a family discount? How do we move this ball forward?
Certainly a lot of topics or conversation moving forward. We broke down all the trades from the last couple days in the NBA. Those will keep on coming, I'm sure, as teams look to finagle around several different aprons of the salary cap, luxury tax there and between. We'll keep you updated on everything from the NBA. One of the big news and nuggets, decisions to be made coming up in the next 24, 48 hours is that of Paul George and a opt-in potentially to a contract to stay with the LA Clippers. Bobby Marks, though, says, I wouldn't pay Paul George.
I'm not paying Paul George 4 years, $212 million. I'm not paying him $61 million when he's 37 years old, and especially if it's going to cost me three of my blue chip prospects here. I'm not going there. I'm not even doing it if I'm the Clippers. I'm not going 4 years for Paul George. I know there's a risk there for there, but that is a huge, huge number.
And it is a big, big number. We'll wait and see if Paul George does opt in to the $48 million option, if it ends up being a long-term deal. I like the fit out in L.A. for Paul George for the remainder of his career. The other stars in town and the overachieving nature in which they played this past season to stay in competition. I do like Paul George out there, but we'll wait and see what the financials look like, what the best decision will be for the future of those Clippers. Major League Baseball finals. Chicago Cubs have left a lot to be desired late out on the diamond, but they did find a way to win in San Francisco in extras yesterday.
Happ drives one in the air, deep right center. Back goes Ramos near the center field fence. That ball is gone. Two-run homer, Ian Happ, just to the right of straightaway. Cubs lead 5-3.
Cubs would win at 5-3 in 10 innings. New record for Chicago, 38-44. That audio courtesy of WSCR. The Twins have continued to play good baseball lately. They boost their record to 45-36 with a dominant high-scoring win out in the desert. 13-6 the final. The big news yesterday pregame was the first ever performance at the major league level. Welcome to the show, David Festa. Here's Rocco Baldelli on the youngsters' outing yesterday.
I thought it was a solid outing from him. The meat of that outing was good. I mean, he threw a lot of good pitches. His changeup looked good. He ran into that inning where they hit a bunch of singles. You know, some of the balls were hit okay. Some of them, you know, were just hit. They found grass, and, you know, we were able to keep him out there and allow him to work through five innings. And he just kept doing his job. He stayed at the task very well. And I think there's a lot of things to be very happy about with him. Again, we got a chance to see what you know, everyone else has already gotten to see with him, the really good stuff, the good arm. He held his stuff pretty good today.
David Festa, first ever appearance at the major league level, also notches the win, 1-0 on the season, 13-2-6, the final yesterday for Minnesota. Other finals, Atlanta and Chicago, White Sox win at home, 1-0. Cincinnati pours it on the Cardinals on the road. Reds dominate this one, final score 11-4.
The 2-2. Steer swings, and he lifts this one high and deep to left field. Back goes Donovan at the track. He looks up at the wall. It is gone. A two-run home run for Spencer Steer. And the Reds have opened up a 7-2 lead.
7-2 then, 11-4 the final. St. Louis with the loss now 41-39. That audio courtesy of WLW. Other finals, AL Central bout between Cleveland and Kansas City. Royals win it there 2-1. Detroit blanked on the road in L.A. against the Angels 5-0. Today and tonight in Major League Baseball, Rockies at White Sox, the early game for our area teams. That gets going from the south side of Chicago at 6:10. Guardians at Royals, Cubs at Brewers, Reds at Cardinals, Tigers at Angels, Twins at Mariners. You got to stay up late for this one. It's an 8:40 start time. We'll have it, of course, for you right here on ESPN Sioux Falls. Pregame coverage at 8 o'clock. Minnesota Twins weekend schedule. Another late one Saturday night, 8:30 pregame, 9:10 the start time. Sunday, a little bit of reprieve. It's nap time, 2:30 pregame start time, 3:10 in the afternoon. The game start at Seattle for the weekend. Your latest AL Central standings, Cleveland Guardians, really darn good. That's a matter of fact. They're 51-28, 7 games better than the Twins, 8 games better than the Royals, 15 games better than the 4th place Tigers, and the Chicago White Sox way far away, 31 games back. Their record 22-61. WNBA Finals, Minnesota Lynx, a rare loss yesterday to a tough team in Dallas on the road, 94-88. It's just win number 4 of the season for Dallas, 94-88 the final there. Las Vegas Aces have regained their form, 31 points behind Aja Wilson, 95-83 winners in Chicago. New record for the Aces is 9-6. Caitlin Clark and the Indiana Fever have played a lot better lately, but not good enough last night in Seattle. They go down 89-77. All sorts of sound bites and critiques coming out after this game. And one of the biggest underlying stories that has been echoed throughout, Caitlin Clark needs to shoot the basketball more. Here's what she had to say about being more aggressive.
I could definitely be a little bit more aggressive to the basket, but I think I'm just going to try to take what the defense gives me and try to set my teammates up for success too.
Indiana Fever with the loss last night, 7-12. Caitlin Clark, 15 points, 6 rebounds, 7 assists in the loss. Tonight in the WNBA, pair of games, Dream at Sun, 6:30. Sparks at Mercury, 9 o'clock. Both of those games viewable on ION TV. NFL, not a whole lot of news, but a tremendous amount of speculation. I really love the Green Bay Packers. You guys know that. I really love our young quarterback whose last name happens to be Love. But I do not love him any more than Mike Tannenbaum does. This guy, NFL analyst on ESPN, singing the praises of Jordan Love as the Packers approach a contract extension with their young starter.
So Mike Tannenbaum, just to reiterate this and point this out, you are suggesting that the contract that Jordan Love should get from the Green Bay Packers is the second richest deal in the history of men's American sports of the four teams behind Ohtani. I don't believe there's anyone close to this, right? I mean,
yeah, it would go past Mahomes, but again, like,
by a lot.
Yeah, but why wouldn't you do, like, if you're the Packers, or alternatively, if I'm Jordan Love, if you don't want to pay that bill, think about all the teams that would pay that bill that, you know, are still having massive question marks. You know, you could go to Seattle. I mean, there's enough teams that you would say, like, hey, I am a 25-year-old superstar with impeccable character, impeccable skill in the prime of my career for a long time.
That's Mike Tannenbaum of ESPN. He's not wrong. You talk about future performance with quarterbacks. Jordan Love is probably going to be paid in the top 5. Do I love that as a Packers fan? No, I don't, but I'd rather have that than not have a quarterback, plain and simply. It's going to be a tough pill to swallow early, but if the Packers sign him to a mega deal, I'm talking 5, 6, 7, 8 years with several opt-outs along the way, financial flexibility, by the end of the deal, by the middle of the deal, this will be such a bargain if Jordan Love is just as good as he was last year, or better than that, or better than that. Certainly worth the investment for the Green Bay Packers. It's a long-term deal on the way. I don't know about 10 years, $600 million, but we will certainly wait and see for the Green Bay Packers and Jordan Love to solidify that deal. Other news from the scorecard, race for NASCAR is at Nashville on Sunday, 2:30 on NBC. PGA Tour Golf, the Rocket Mortgage Classic continues today from Detroit Golf Club. Congratulations to Sioux Falls Canaries manager Mike Meyer, 300th win of his career, 6-2 win yesterday over Lincoln. Several highlights in this one, but the Sioux Falls Canaries 25-15. They're in action over the weekend, three-game series against Kane County beginning tonight at 7:05. Purchase tickets, sfcanaries.com. Get on out to the Birdcage. This team, pretty darn fun, special, and very local this year as well for the Sioux Falls Canaries. For the second season in a row, South Dakota State has come out on top of in-state rival South Dakota in the head-to-head Interstate Series Athletics competition. Jackrabbits won this year's edition by a 14-12 score, matching the tally from the previous year. The 2023-2024 athletic season marked the first time the competition was sponsored by First Interstate Bank. The Interstate Series presented in conjunction with Learfield and its respective Jackrabbit Sports Properties and Coyote Sports Properties divisions. SDSU now holds a 7-5 overall advantage in the series, which dates back to 2012. The competition has been decided by 2 points or fewer 7 times. But yes, Jackrabbit fans, for this year at least, you're on top of the Yotes. You were last year. We'll wait and see, but very close to great schools, and an honor to cover these schools in our area. South Dakota senior J.C. Pulse extended her season yesterday evening by advancing to the semifinals of the 400-meter hurdles at the 2024 U.S. Olympic Trials held at Hayward Field. Pulse clocked a time of 56.99 seconds to move on to Saturday's semis, scheduled for 7:41 p.m. on NBC. This marked her fourth time clocking sub-57 seconds for the 400-meter hurdles in the spring. Pulse hails from Salem, South Dakota, population below 1,500 people, and she was a two-time All-American in the 400 hurdles for USD, set the Yotes program record in the event last year, clocked a 56.11, and again, best of luck to J.C. Pulse as she looks to realize her Olympic dreams. As we move forward with your ReliaBank headlines of the day, as always, check them out for a better local banking option in person in the 605 or online, ReliaBank.com. Get to know the name Macklin Celebrini, the youngest player in NCAA D1 men's hockey this season, will look to become the first skater from Boston University to be chosen number one overall in the 2024 Upper Deck NHL Draft, takes center stage tonight from Las Vegas. Celebrini, who has been the projected number one pick in the 2024 draft all season long, will finally learn his professional destination 15 days after celebrating his 18th birthday. The San Jose Sharks hold the number one pick in the draft. Rounds 2-7 will be held on Saturday on ESPN Plus and other networks. The Sharks haven't confirmed that they will select Celebrini, but it seems like a no-brainer. The writing has been on the wall ever since the NHL draft lottery. For the first time, the San Jose Sharks won it in their team history back on May the 7th. The Sharks didn't qualify for the Stanley Cup playoffs for a fifth consecutive season, and just like Connor Bedard a moment ago, a year ago, Bedard labeled a generational talent. Macklin Celebrini, a guy whose name was consistently mentioned throughout the college hockey season, likely to be the number one overall draft pick. The Blackhawks have picked number two, and there's several big names out there that could get their names called early. Speaking of hockey news, Colorado Avalanche center Nathan MacKinnon was the big winner at last night's NHL award show, taking home the Hart Memorial Trophy as the league's most valuable player, and the Ted Lindsay Award as the league's most outstanding player, as decided by the NHL Players Association. MacKinnon helped lead the Avs to the Stanley Cup championship 2 years ago and was a finalist for the Hart for the fourth time and the second time finalist for the Lindsay Trophy. Had never won either award. Chicago Blackhawks youngster and center Connor Bedard was selected as the league's top rookie, winning the Calder Memorial Trophy. Bedard, one of the most hyped prospects in recent years. Last year's number one overall pick, had 61 points as a rookie, had to deal with a broken jaw as well. Minnesota's Brock Faber was second in the Rookie of the Year voting last night. Lastly here, speaking of voting, speaking of honorees, New York Yankees outfielder Aaron Judge and Philadelphia Phillies first baseman Bryce Harper were elected Thursday to start in the July 16th upcoming All-Star Game at Globe Life Field down in Arlington, Texas. A few hours later, Harper limped off the field with an apparent left hamstring injury after making the final out of Phillies' loss to Miami. He will undergo imaging today. Judge led the major leagues with 3,425,300 votes in the first round of fan balloting and was picked for his sixth American League start in seven All-Star games, though he missed last year because of a sprained right big toe. Became the 11th player to lead the majors in votes on multiple occasions since fan balloting resumed in 1970. Those are just two of the headliners, Aaron Judge and Bryce Harper. Other names on the list: Salvador Perez, Vlad Guerrero Jr., Marcus Semien, Jose Ramirez, and so many more. We'll keep it out and an eye out for those Minnesota Twins on the list as we approach the All-Star break. And again, Kyle Schwarber also dinged up. More on that. Schwarber and Harper both dinged up in a loss yesterday for the Phillies. Those are your ReliaBank headlines of the day here for hour number two. Still a lot to get to on the show, including a big opportunity ahead with the Friday Parlay. But I got a big giveaway right now. Surprise giveaway. I've got tickets, and I mean will call tickets, to the PFL fights tomorrow night at the Sanford Pentagon. Would you like to go? All you got to do is give me a call, 605-362-3776. You want to go to the PFL fights tomorrow? Tonight they begin around 4:30 this evening. Sanford Pentagon, 605-362-3776. You want to go? Dial me up right now. Again, 605-362-3776.
Best sporting matchups and coverage. We are ESPN 102.3 and AM 1000 KSOO, Sioux Falls sports leader.
Back with you on this Friday edition of Overtime, ESPN Sioux Falls. Very shortly on the show, we're going to be joined by Lulu Moreno of the Sioux Falls City Football Club, talking about a big game coming up tonight. Tickets and more information are easy to get your hands on, and you don't want to miss that down at Bob Young Field. They're facing off with Salvo. That is a number one, number two matchup coming up tonight. Very important for playoff posturing and so much more. We'll dive into everything Sioux Falls City Football Club here very soon. But right now, it's time for the Friday Parlay. I just hooked up three lucky callers with some fight tickets. We'll do that again soon here on the show. But the Friday Parlay, always brought to you by High End Glass and Tobacco. It's baseball, and more baseball this weekend. You got to tell me the winner straight up between the Cubs and the Brewers on Saturday, the Rockies and the White Sox Saturday as well, Cleveland and Kansas City on Sunday, and your tiebreaker, Twins at Mariners, total runs for Sunday's ball game. Again, the Friday Parlay always brought to you by High End Glass and Tobacco. You can enter right now at ESPN Sioux Falls on Twitter. I've got a greens fee certificate up for grabs to Spring Creek Country Club down in Harrisburg. I got some Catfish Bay tickets as well, $20 values. You can be hooked up with a four-pack of those, fireworks bucks, and so much more here for the Friday Parlay. It's a big one this weekend, and I haven't mentioned it yet, but if you're looking to head out and see the Minnesota Twins in the Twin Cities at Target Field, 4th of July weekend, I've got a four-pack of tickets for July the 6th. That is Saturday, and an outstanding matchup as well on the way at Target Field. If you and your family would like to go, you can enter for a chance to win. The Friday Parlay is live at ESPN Sioux Falls on Twitter. Enter now. Baseball, and more baseball. Twins tickets for July the 6th up for grabs. If you want to spend your weekend of the 4th of July out there in the Twin Cities, maybe head out to the lake, head out on the boat, and then get out to Target Field. Enter to win big with the Friday Parlay. It's always brought to you by High End Glass and Tobacco. Same break, same giveaway here. I got some more fight tickets to give away. Brought to you by Beal Distributing. If you would like to go to the fights tonight at the Sanford Pentagon for the Professional Fighters League, Logan Storley will be there. If you missed out on our giveaway moments ago, dial me up right now. Still have some tickets available that will be available at will call. 605-362-3776. Dial me up. The tickets are yours. Have a blast this weekend. We're back with an interview. Lulu Moreno of Sioux Falls City Football Club next on Overtime.
Streaming live app, this is Overtime with Burt Ramin on ESPN 102.3 and AM 1000 KSOO, Sioux Falls sports leader.
Right back with you. It is the Friday edition of Overtime. Giveaways galore on the show. Big events throughout the weekend. We got the fights tonight at the Pentagon. We also got a huge contest for Sioux Falls City Football Club. And we're honored to have Lulu Moreno in the studio with us as well. She's a forward on the team. Been here a couple of years. And Lulu, welcome to the show. I know you this said this is your first time on the radio, but I'm excited to have you. Welcome in.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
And it's fun to talk with you because I know it's been a fun season thus far. Give us some highlights because Sioux Falls City Football Club been pretty darn good. You guys are number two, but you got a big matchup tonight against number one. Is that right?
Yes, sir. That's correct. Yeah, big matchup against number two, number one in the nation. We've been here for 3 years and seeing the football club grow to where it is now, it's just been exciting to be a part of and taking care of business day by day. On the pitch, off the pitch, you know, within ourselves, and it's just been great to be a part of.
And Lulu, let us in a little bit on your story. When did you get to Sioux Falls? What's the college journey been like for you, and your pro journey now here in Sioux Falls?
Right. So I've been here since the year one. One of the OG players. I came in 2 years ago, and from the start, when they recruited me, I just knew I was wanting to be a part of something big and be a part of something that was going to grow, not just something temporarily wise. So I'm glad that I stumbled upon this team and they recruited me and had me on them with their progress and what they wanted to do for the season. College-wise, I had 2 years over in Kansas, transferred over to finish my schools over in West Virginia. From there, I was just looking for another place to play to continue chasing my dream of going pro. And like I said, I stumbled upon Sioux Falls, and they were, you know, I was lucky enough to get in contact with them, and I believed in the values that they held for the club and the growth that they wanted for the community, for the youth and the environment around as a whole. So it's been a journey, but along the journey has been a lot of ups and downs, but so far a lot of ups this season, so it's been a great time.
And it's been a lot of fun, and again, a huge game tonight, 7 o'clock, Bob Young Field against Salvo. They're number one in the nation. What stands out about them as a team and the challenge they present you guys?
Well, given they've been number one for the past few years now and, you know, given us, like, we're this season on a winning streak, I just feel like we're more motivated about ourselves and focus on ourselves and how we can get better every day. And I feel like what was a big strength for us was taking every game that comes up game by game, no matter who the opponent is, and just stay focused on our job. And that's pretty much what gives us the motivation to keep going.
You can follow along with Sioux Falls City Football Club, SiouxFallsCityFC.com, here on Overtime, ESPN Sioux Falls, talking with Sioux Falls CFC forward Lulu Moreno here on the show. It's Equity in Women's Sports Night, among other things. It's a huge game tonight. Bob Young Field, again, tickets available, SiouxFallsCityFC.com. When it comes to the growth of women's sports, this area of the country is extraordinary with the support for women's basketball, volleyball, and all the equity in women's sports. But again, when this was initially put out that Sioux Falls was getting a football club in the WPSL, and then now we've got it, and it's successful, and it's been a lot of fun to follow along. What do you think it all means for this area and for the country to continue to grow women's sports and see this continue to move forward?
I think it means a lot, you know, for not only just the community, the players, the families, everything that, you know, people that follow us. It's a huge, huge thing going on, especially here in this country, seeing women's sports grow into something bigger. As a little kid, you don't really imagine the things that you have to face when you get older. And this being one of those, you know, just having equity in women's sports and sports in general and our lives in general, it's just something that just huge to be a part of, and just to see it grow into something bigger and see like wherever we leave off of, knowing that it's going to go into something grand than what wherever we left it. And I feel like that's the end goal for everything that we want to do, is always leave it better than what we left it off of.
And I wanted to ask you, I've got a young daughter at home, so I just got to tell you and everyone there at Sioux Falls City Football Club, thank you for everything you've done to kind of launch this forward. Because whether or not my daughter's an athlete or not, but I love the fact that she'll be able to grow up in an environment where the men are taken as seriously as the women, and vice versa across the board. And women's sports are so prevalent in this area, and they continue to grow. So let me ask you, though, when you were a youngster and you were growing up in the game of soccer and as a young athlete, is this kind of reaching that wildest dream territory of where women's sports is right now and where it's going to be in 5-10 years?
In a sense, yeah, it's definitely huge for us. Speaking for myself, like I said, I would never imagine where I'm at today. And I'm just excited to see where my future holds and trying to grow the sport and women in general in the world and kind of just empower ourselves and making sure that everyone knows from little to big to adults that they matter and that we're making a difference. And at the end of the day, it's going to be something huge to be a part of.
And it's a huge game tonight against Salvo in town. Bob Youngfield, 7 o'clock's the start. I would get there early, SiouxFallsCityFC.com. We're talking with forward Lulu Moreno. Now, we talked about Salvo. They're number one. They're the big dog coming here into Sioux Falls. But tell me and sell me on your team. What does Sioux Falls City FC do well this year? Are you a scoring team, a defensive team, do-it-all squad? Hype up the fans here a little bit about tonight's game and what it means for your club.
Right. It's a game that you're not going to want to miss. If you can be a part of it, it's going to be great. We would love to have the stadium kind of filled with all the love and energy that we need in order to perform well. Like I said from the beginning, coming into this season, we just kind of had a mindset of focusing in on ourselves and taking everything game by game, regardless of whoever the opponent is. Like you said, yes, it is the number one team right now that we're facing, but I think we were instructed really well on focusing in on what we can do and bring to the game. And I feel like we can bring a lot to the game. I mean, we bring a lot of excitement throughout the entire roster that we have, from bench players to starters to changers. I feel like as a whole, we're just something that you just want to be a part of and you want to follow, because it's, like I said, from start to finish, we've been holding our own pretty well, and it's only going to get better from here.
Let me ask you about the differences between last year and this year. Experience is a plus, retention of players and coaching staff, yourself included, being back for another year. What do you think are a couple big differences between last year's team and what you learned and what you've been able to do this year as a club?
Right, taking in from last year to this year, you can see a big difference between winning streaks and things like that. I think what we did well this season is just basically kind of focusing in on what, like I said, what we can bring to the game, kind of just all buying into the idea of it takes all of us and not just one of us. And I feel like that being our motivation, our motto for this season, it showed, because we've had players who've, you know, given up spots in order to do what's best for the team at the end of the day, because at the end of the day, we see a bigger picture as a whole. And I feel like since everyone bought into that, I feel like that's what's given a little bit part of our success that we've seen this season.
And certainly been a fun one. Number two, number one tonight. Again, Sioux Falls City FC will play host to Salvo. That's the number one team in the nation. 7 o'clock at Bob Youngfield. Tickets still available, SiouxFallsCityFC.com. A couple great promotions going on as well. I know Dakota Alliance Soccer mixed in there with other things. And it also is Equity in Women's Sports Night at Bob Youngfield. 7 o'clock the start time. Get there early and be loud. Lulu Moreno, you're a forward on the team. Take me through that, the challenges, the conditioning obviously is very tough being a pro athlete in the sport of football or soccer, whatever you want to call it on the show is good with me. Conditioning, being a pro soccer player, what are the challenges of your position on the team?
It's a huge challenge. You know, you've got to do what it takes to be the person on the line to make the goals and things like that. But it's all about staying disciplined, staying motivated, and staying hungry. And I feel like not only me as a forward, the rest of our team does the exact same thing, from forwards, midfielders, defensive players, our goalkeepers. I think we're all disciplined and buying into the idea of the bigger picture here. And I think that's what it takes in order to be successful. So I think we all did a pretty good job.
Growing up personally, were you always a forward? Did you play a little goalie defense at all, or were you mixed in?
Yeah, my journey has kind of been a little bit of everywhere. So I've started off as a forward, and then, you know, I've kind of been a a player that kind of hops around in different positions. Funny speaking, in my final 2 years of D2 school, I went in as I recruited in for a striker position, but then one of our outside backs had tore her ACL and I had to step into that role. And so I've gotten a lot more better at defending and kind of defensive mindset. And then it wasn't until the end of last season that I decided to close that chapter of the defending part of my game and kind of return back to where I feel the most happiest and to feel the most free when I play, and that's being in the striker position. So kind of took a little bit of myself, but I'm glad that I did because it's been great so far. I've been having fun.
And then when it comes to personal idols, men's and women's soccer, who comes to mind as somebody that you try to emulate, grow into at this stage of your career?
For me, my all-time favorite player is Messi, just the humbleness that he has for himself and other talented players, and like just the drive, his story, his background of where he got to and how he got to where he is now. On the women's side, for me, it'll be Crystal Dunn, just her aggressiveness, her ability to just stand out and to stand up against people, and just the way she plays is just immaculate. Just imagine. Yeah.
Big game coming up tonight. Salvo number one, Sioux Falls City FC number two in the nation. 7 o'clock at Bob Young Field. Again, for tickets and more info and to follow along, SiouxFallsCityFC.com. Lastly, Lulu, just wanted to talk to you about you've been here for a couple years, and I wanted to see back to last year and the fan support. Obviously, initially welcomed with open arms, but as far as growth goes and the momentum of the overall franchise and the team here in Sioux Falls, what kind of growth have you seen and the continued support from Sioux Falls for this team?
Right, so given, you know, from year to year to where we're at now, I feel like the growth has been noticeable a lot, especially at our home games with seats being filled up, and just seeing the children come in and watching us play, it's just something great to see the turnaround and to see a full stand. It's nice. It gives us the energy to give to keep going, to play hard, because we're not only playing for ourselves at that time, we're playing for those that come and support us. And it's on the field and off the field as well. We're there for the community as they are there for us.
Certainly, it's a big game tonight. Just about the end of the regular season, posturing for the postseason, and a lot to look forward to. Second-ranked Sioux Falls City FC, top-ranked Salvo tonight, 7 o'clock, Bob Young Field. SiouxFallsCityFC.com for tickets and more information and ways to engage with this great club here in Sioux Falls. Lulu, appreciate the time so much. We'll do it again soon. You're welcome back anytime.
Yes, sir. Thank you for having me.
All right, that is Sioux Falls City Football Club forward Lulu Moreno, Texas native up here in Sioux Falls, enjoying all the rain, I'm sure, along with everybody else out here. Big game tonight, again, 7 o'clock at Bob Young Field. For more info, tickets, and everything you need to know, SiouxFallsCityFC.com. We're going to take the break and come back with an extended edition of The Good, The Bad, and The Ugly. We're going to send you packing and feeling good into the weekend. I still have fight tickets to give away. Keep calling till they're gone, people, as we'll get you hooked up with tickets there to the Sanford Pentagon, 605-362-3776. We're back to finish up the show, The Good, The Bad, and The Ugly, next on Overtime.
ESPN Sioux Falls gets you back to more of Overtime with Burt Ramin on ESPN 102.3 and AM 1000 KSOO, Sioux Falls sports leader.
Right back with you on the Friday edition of Overtime. By the way, I've still got four pair of tickets for the big fights coming up tonight at the Sanford Pentagon. Certainly a lot to look forward to. It is the first time that the PFL has made their way to Sioux Falls. I've got a bunch of tickets still available. And again, the Professional Fighters League takes over the Pentagon tonight with a packed MMA card featuring top featherweights and welterweights, and including some local angles, South Dakota's own Logan Storley squaring up in the co-main event. Tickets still available at Ticketmaster.com. The undercard starts at 5:30. Main card starts at 9 from the Pentagon tonight. If you would like to go, I'll be giving away the remainder of the tickets over the phone, 605-362-3776, at the conclusion of today's show. That's coming up in about 5 minutes here on ESPN Sioux Falls. Don't miss it. First come, first serve. Still have four pair left to give out. If you or someone you know would like to go, will call tickets are available at the end of today's program. Special thanks, by the way, moments ago to Lulu Moreno of the Sioux Falls City Football Club, one of the many scorers on the team, a forward, been here a couple years, and a massive game going on tonight for Sioux Falls City FC at Bob Young Field, 7 o'clock to start against top-ranked Salvo. Sioux Falls City FC is number 2 in the nation. Huge matchup, equity in women's sports night. Also, Girl Scouts are out and about as well. Check it out. Great venue, great soccer, and a great night in store for Sioux Falls City FC. And again, SiouxFallsCityFC.com for tickets, details, and more information. Now, though, it's a time reserved for the end of the week. It's a time reserved for the good, the bad, and the ugly for the sports world. Let's hit it. It's time for the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Many days there are those who can be called a problem child. You know the ones. They have a tendency to display an ugly side. They have their whiny moments. Some display an outright bad side of themselves. And then there are those who stand out in a good way. Well, here they are. The good, the bad, and the ugly.
First things first, good news from the tennis world, at least for now. Novak Djokovic and Andy Murray both were placed in the Wimbledon bracket during Friday's draw, despite coming off recent operations. There's no guarantee that either 37-year-old past champion at the All England Club will actually compete at the event that begins on Monday. But Djokovic at least has looked in practice sessions this week as though he's ready to go, less than a month after having surgery for a torn meniscus in his right knee. He's won 7 of his men's record 24 Grand Slam titles at Wimbledon. As for Andy Murray, 2-time trophy winner at the grass court tournament, made clear yesterday that he would wait until the last moment to decide whether to play, and was likelier to do so in doubles, where he and his older brother Jamie were awarded a wild card entry, than in singles. He had a cyst removed from his spinal cord last weekend. Two guys that are long in the tooth, 37 years old, Novak Djokovic, Andy Murray, looking to make appearances. They are in the draw at Wimbledon. It remains to be seen if they will actually play. But again, more likely are the two, Novak Djokovic, and Djokovic obviously also more likely to compete for all the marbles. Other good news, the Big East Conference will expand to having games on 3 networks and see a significant increase in revenues under a new 6-year media rights deal that was announced yesterday. Fox Sports will remain as the conference's lead network under the new agreement, which begins with the upcoming season 2025-2026, while NBC and TNT will carry Big East games for the first time. The conference's 12-year deal with Fox and CBS expires at the end of the upcoming year. An average $41.67 million per season. With the increased revenue, the Big East should also be better on financial footing with Power 4 conferences, especially since it doesn't have football as a sport within the league. The Big East, though, is considered one of the nation's premier basketball conferences and features 2-time defending men's champion Connecticut. Among its 11 members, UConn also returned to the women's Final Four this past year and is a good bet to do so with Paige Beckers back and better than ever coming up for next year. On to the bad. A jury in U.S. District Court has ordered the National Football League to pony up and pay more than $4.7 billion in damages on Thursday after ruling that the league violated antitrust laws in distributing out-of-market Sunday afternoon games on a premium subscription service. The jury awarded $4.7 billion in damages to residential class and $96 million in damages to the commercial class, bars and restaurants. Since damages can be tripled under federal antitrust laws, the National Football League could end up being liable for up to $14.39 billion as a result of the settlement. The lawsuit covered 2.4 million residential subscribers and 48,000 businesses across the United States who paid for the package of out-of-market games from 2011 through 2022 seasons on DirecTV. The lawsuit claimed that the league broke antitrust laws by selling its package of Sunday games at an inflated price. The subscribers also say the league restricted competition by offering Sunday ticket only on a satellite provider. The NFL said in a statement that it will appeal the verdict, but for now, it looks like the National Football League is on the hook for $4.7 billion in damages to residential customers, $96 million to commercial customers, and it might be more than that. But again, the NFL does plan to appeal. Should the NFL end up paying damages, it could cost each of the 32 teams approximately $450 million. I don't say this lightly. It still feels like a drop in the bucket to the National Football League that dominates everything. Advertising, viewership, broadcast rights, no matter what it is, the days of the week the NFL is in charge of lately in terms of the overall clout that they carry in American sports, international sports, and beyond. But the NFL certainly on the hook for now, although an appeal coming in that antitrust case for NFL Sunday Ticket. Lastly here, ugly news for the Philadelphia Phillies. One of the best teams in baseball had a very tough final inning in a loss yesterday to the Miami Marlins. Bryce Harper and Kyle Schwarber were both injured last night late in the loss to Miami, leaving their availability in question for the team with the best record in Major League Baseball. Elected to his eighth All-Star game just hours earlier, Harper felt his left hamstring tighten as he was running to first base on the final play of the game. The slugger clutched at the back of his leg and briefly fell to the ground last night after crossing the bag. Even though the Phillies challenged the call on the ground out, Harper didn't wait for the result of the replay review and immediately limped down to the tunnel. Harper said post-game, "It hurts. We're going to get an image tomorrow. That's today. Just to see what it looks like and see how I feel and go from there." Harper, who was the National League Player of the Month in May and is in the conversation for the same award in June, extended his winning streak last night to 12 games with an RBI double, currently batting .303, 20 homers, and 58 RBI this season. Now for former Cubby fan favorite Kyle Schwarber, he had tightness in his groin while making an awkward throw from the outfield in the top of the ninth inning as well. Usually the Phillies DH, Schwarber was playing in the field for only the third time this season. Bad news, ugly news for the Philadelphia Phillies, one of, if not the best team in baseball, although many people think, of course, the Yankees are better, a couple other teams in the conversation. Phillies, one of the teams on the very short list of the best teams in Major League Baseball right now, and certainly dinged up following a tough loss 7-4 last night against the Miami Marlins. That's the good, the bad, the ugly. That is our show, and it's time to get your calls in right now. I have four pair of tickets remaining to the big fights tonight at the Sanford Pentagon. Again, for the first time, the PFL is making their way to Sioux Falls at the Pentagon. MMA card features top featherweights and welterweights, including South Dakota's own Logan Storley. If you'd like to go, I've got tickets. If you don't score tickets with me, find them at Ticketmaster.com. Undercard starts at 5:30 at the Pentagon. Main card at 9 o'clock. You want to go? I got four pair remaining. First come, first serve. The number to dial is, we say so long, 605-362-3776. Again, that phone number, four pair left. Get on the horn right now, 605-362-3776. Have a great weekend, Sioux Falls. We'll talk to you on Monday.